Who can be worthy of the name of the Supreme Lord but the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna? Brahmaji collected the water emanating from the nails of his feet in order to award it to Lord Shiva as a worshipful welcome. This very water, the Ganges, is purifying the whole universe, including Lord Shiva. Purport. The conception of many gods in Vedic literature by the ignorant is completely wrong. The Lord is one without a second, but he expands himself in many ways, and this is confirmed in the Vedas. Such expansions of the Lord are limitless, but some of them are the living entities. The living entities are not as powerful as the Lord's plenary expansions, and therefore there are two different types of expansions. Lord Brahma is generally one of the living entities, and Lord Shiva is the via media between the Lord and the living entities. In other words, even demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who are the chief amongst all the demigods, are never equal to or greater than Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and all-powerful demigods like Brahma and Shiva are engaged in the worship of Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Therefore, who can be more powerful than Mukunda, Lord Krishna, to be factually called the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are not independently powerful. They are powerful as expansions of the Supreme Lord, and all of them are engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And so also are the living entities. There are four sects of worshipful devotees of the Lord, and the chief amongst them are the Brahma Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, and Sri Sampradaya, descending directly from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, respectively. Besides the above-mentioned three Sampradayas, there is the Kumara Sampradaya, descending from Sanat Kumara. All of the four original Sampradayas are still scrupulously engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord up to date. And they all declare that Lord Krishna, Mukunda, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And no other personality is equal to him or greater than him. Om Agyan Smirandasya Janan Janan Salakya Takshura Minitandina Tasmai Sri Gravinatha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Karatha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. The conception of many gods in Vedic literatures by the ignorant is completely wrong. The Lord is one without a second, but he expands himself in many ways. And this is confirmed in the Vedas. So the Vedic aphorism is that God is one, but he becomes many. In fact, he becomes everything. Because everything is God's energy. So nothing is actually different from God in one sense. It's like the sunshine is the energy of the sun. And you cannot really separate the sunshine from the sun glow. Because by the light of the sun, you see the sun. If there was no energy of light, you would never see the sun. So it would have no meaning. So similarly, God without his expansions actually has no meaning. So he expands in unlimited ways. Then the question will come, why? Why does God expand? Then the Vedas say, for his pleasure. This is the purpose of creation. Pleasure. Everybody in the material world wants pleasure, because that is the purpose of creation. But the Vedic covers this, the purpose is God's creation. Yeah, God's pleasure. And I'm thinking, my pleasure. I think this creation has taken place for my pleasure. How it's taken place, I don't know. But still, the conception is, the world is mine to enjoy, it's my pleasure. But the real understanding is that, no, it's God's creation, and it's for him to enjoy. So the science of bhakti yoga, devotional service, is that we are taking God's creation, and we're using it in God's service for his pleasure. So this is the simple philosophy of the Vedas. If this is understood, then the whole world goes nice and peaceably, and at the end you go back to Godhead, because you're simply accustomed to using everything in Krishna's service for his pleasure. Such, Prabhupada's pointing out, that such expansions of the Lord are limitless, but some of them are the living entities. That means me and you. The living entities are not as powerful as the Lord's plenary expansions, and therefore there are two different types of expansions. This is, Krishna also speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter. He speaks of, there are two classes of persons, the fallible and the infallible. And the, so these two conscious beings, one is the jiva, jivatma, that is us, also called shara. Kshara means fallen or deviated from his original position. So everything in relation with Krishna has its position. So we have a sarup, a position with Krishna. When we forget that position, then we come into the material world and we act independently from God. We forget God, we forget he existed, and we just go about our own way trying to make our own plan in life. So we're called Kshara. We're out of our position. Our position is to serve, situated in a position to serve Krishna. That's an eternal position. But we've left that position and put ourselves in a temporary position. It's not, this is not our eternal position. But it can be revived, even though this is a, not our eternal. But still, even with this body, with this situation, we can still engage in Krishna's service and be situated in, again in our constitutional position. Then after leaving this body, then you go back again to the eternal, you never have to take birth again in the material world. So, and there's another conscious entity called Akshara or Brahman that is eternally fixed, that never moves. So the or it's not deviated from its position. Brahman is eternal, eternal, eternally fixed. When Arjuna asks Krishna, what is the self, what is Brahman, what is the self? Krishna says, the living entity, the jiva, is Brahman, and his eternal nature is called the self. So we have an eternal nature that is fixed. So that is Brahman. So there's these two classes of people, the fallible and the infallible. We are fallible in this material world because we're not fixed. We're constantly moving from one body to another. Or even in this body, we're constantly moving from childhood to youth, to old age, to death, again and again and again, and different species of life, insects, animals, birds, trees. So it's not a fixed position. So the shara and akshara are the fixed, and undeviated and the deviated. And then Krishna says, and besides these two, the fallible and the infallible, there is that Supreme Lord who has entered into the worlds and is maintaining them. That means the super soul. So he is maintaining them. Then Krishna says, but even I am celebrated beyond the fallible and the infallible. Therefore I am known as that Supreme Person. Here the verses, who can be worthy of the name of the Supreme Lord but the Supreme Personality of God is Krishna. So Krishna is stating that, yes, you have, there's two conscious beings, one is the Jiva and one is Brahman. And then you have Paramatma also. But I am beyond all of these. I am beyond the fallible and the infallible. Therefore I am celebrated as that Supreme Person. So here, the same verse is, understanding is being spoken in this verse. That Krishna is beyond the conditioned soul, he's beyond Brahman, he's beyond Paramatma. He is actually Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. And here Lord Shiva, Prabhupada mentions, Lord Brahma is generally one of the living entities, and Lord Shiva is the bi-median between the Lord and the living entities. So Lord Shiva's position is different from the Jiva Tattva. And also he's different from Vishnu Tattva. He's in a Tattva of his own, Shiva Tattva. So therefore, in the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that he is like yogurt. Milk is nothing, yogurt is nothing but a transformation of milk. But still is not milk. You can't say it's milk when you've got yogurt. It's yogurt. You can't turn it back into milk. So Shiva's position is Krishna, he's Vishnu Tattva, but he's been adulterated. Just like milk gets adulterated with something sour, it turns into yogurt. So he's adulterated. That adulteration is a portion of the deluding aspect of the Lord, a portion of the non-plentitude of the Lord, and a portion of the ecstatic cum cognizant principle. I'm quoting Brahma Samhita, that's why it's kind of technical words. But that's the ingredients, the chemical makeup of the false ego. It contains these things. And that is Lord Shiva's position. So he's like in between the living. So he's the, as Prabhupada said, he's the via medium between the Lord and the living entities. So, because the living entities are also in between, we're called the marginal potency. So we have a tendency to be shara or akshara. That means to be permanently situated or to be deviated from that position. So, Lord Shiva is between the two. And therefore he acts as the hankara principle. In the universal form of the Lord, Lord Shiva says, when he's offering prayers to Krishna in the Krishna book, he says, as far as I'm concerned, I'm your ahankara, I'm your false ego. So he takes that position in the universal form, that he is the false ego Shakti. And this is the covering that living entity gets and helps him to identify himself with this body, with his mind, with his intelligence, with the material world, or helps him identify with anything but his eternal relationship as a servant of Krishna. So then Lord Shiva's potency is the false ego, and that is covering the soul. So therefore he's the via media to keep people in the material. If you want to stay in the material world, you do so by the agency of Lord Shiva's false ego. And the false ego, as Prabhupada said, it's a bridge, like a bridge between the spiritual and the material world. Or junction, he used the word junction also. It's a junction where you can actually choose. If you choose the false ego, then you'll be in the material world. And if you choose pure ego, because ego means identity, so false identity means you come into the material world and identify falsely. And pure identity means that I'm a servant of Krishna. So then you identify with Krishna. And then you can leave the material world by the grace of Lord Shiva. Because he removes his shakti. He removes the false ego aspect. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Navadvip Bhavataranga, he's making prakram of Navadvipam, getting the blessings of all the devotees and all the different incarnations that are here and there. It's all being revealed to him. And he's, the whole mood, he's praying for blessings from all the devotees in the Dham, from the Dham itself, from the presiding goddesses. And even at Nrisingapali, he meets Lord Nrisingadev, and Lord Nrisingadev puts his feet on his head, gives him blessings of Abhaya, but still he's Lord Nrisingadev, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, by the mercy of my devotees, you will actually attain your perfection. Now Krishna's mercy is going through the devotees, even though he directly had darshan of the Lord and had his feet on his head, but still he said that my mercy will come through my devotee. So finally he comes to this island, Rudrudvip. And then he sees Lord Shiva's here, dancing and chanting the names of Gauranga. And he says, again, that by my mercy, now you attain all your perfection. Go to Dhira Samira, that side by the Navadvip bank. That's the place of the Krishna's rasa dancing and things like that. And you will see, so he goes in, he actually has a vision of Radha and Krishna. So he gets, his perfection is there. But it's given by Lord Shiva. And he admits, it's my mercy. Because he actually removes the false ego, he removes the covering from the living entity. So therefore he's described as being the via media between the Lord and the living entities. Because by his mercy, you can stay in the material world and identify with the material world. By his mercy, you can also go back to the spiritual world. He simply removes his potency, his ahankara potency. He's the via media. Prabhupada explains, where is it? Can't remember. Maybe the ninth, seventh or ninth. And anyway, he says that, in one purport, that although he's Vishnu, for touching the material world, because Vishnu doesn't touch the material world, because he's a completely transcendental personality. So for dealing with the material world, then he transforms into Shiva. He has that slight adult. Then he can deal with the material world. Therefore, Lord Shiva is actually the Lord of this world. He's the enjoyer of the world. Because this material world is Durga Devi, and that happens to be his wife. So he's actually enjoyer of this material world. But he is Krishna. He is transformed in a position to be the Lord of the material world. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that verse, aham bija bhata pita, that I am the seed giving father of everyone. So Krishna is saying that, and I'm the seed-giving father of everyone in the material world. But when he's speaking that is referring to Lord Shiva. It's referring to Krishna in the form of Lord Shiva, because he is dealing with the material world. He is the father of the living entities in the material world. He's Krishna. He's been transformed into this form of Shiva, so he can deal with the material world. Therefore, when Krishna says, "Aham Bhitabhat," that I am the seed-giving father, it's Krishna in the form of Lord Shiva. Because Krishna doesn't touch the world. So how he can be the seed-giving father? Huh? Birth in all these different wombs, Krishna says, different species, is made possible by my mercy. So Krishna is saying, but when he's speaking like that, it means in the form of Lord Shiva, because Krishna or Vishnu, they don't touch the material world. So when they have to touch it, then they become transformed into Lord Shiva, and he touches the material world. So he's considered here, he's such a great powerful personality. He's actually the Supreme Lord himself. But he's taken his position of a servant of Krishna. And although he is not a very nice task to cover all the living entities with their false ego and keep them bound up in the material world, simultaneously he is called he's the greatest Vaishnava. Vaishnava Tadaha Shambho. He's the greatest of all the devotees of Krishna. So he has these two aspects. And he's such a great personality. But still, it says he considers Krishna his worshipful Lord. He actually worships and serves Krishna. We were reading last week, Prabhupada was speaking about how Lord Shiva was so powerful that he drank the ocean of poison when they were churning the milk ocean. The poison, he drank the whole ocean. One drop is sufficient to kill any person of that poison. But Lord Shiva, he drank the whole ocean of poison and kept it in his throat. So where did he get the power to do that? To keep that whole ocean of poison in his throat. What counteracts poison? Nectar. So to counteract that, an ocean of poison, you have to have a lot of nectar. That nectar that Lord Shiva had was that he was taught the Ananta Samhita, which is teaching the glories of Lord Gauranga and Navadvip Dham. And therefore, during that drinking, he was keeping the Ananta Samhita in his throat. He was remembering the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Panchatatra and Navadvip. And because of that nectar, the poison couldn't affect him. It just went into his throat, but there's so much nectar there, it counteracted all the poison. But he's such a powerful person, but he considers himself to be a servant of Krishna and actually engages in the service to Krishna. And Lord Brahma, where does he get his power to create? He can create a whole universe. We're hundreds of men here struggling to maintain a few buildings. And there's Brahma, he's creating a whole universe. Where does he get his power from? Now he admits that in the beginning I was bewildered. Only after I meditated on Krishna and I worshipped Krishna, then I got the inspiration and potency to actually create the whole universe. So even these great personalities like Lord Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi, they cannot be considered to be all powerful. But because they are most powerful, and because they are the most intelligent persons, they have taken to the service of Krishna. It said that Lakshmiji, because she represents money, she's always flickering. You can't keep money for very long, even rich dynasties, after one or two generations, she's always skipping here and there. You can't. Nobody can keep Lakshmi bound down. Nobody. Even the demigods. But she herself, voluntary, becomes bound at the lotus feet of Krishna. She never leaves the feet of Krishna. So this is the position of Krishna here, that here Prabhupada says, Lord Brahma is generally one of the living entities. When the living entity first comes into the material world, he accepts the form of Lord Brahma, because it's such an exalted position, it's such a pure position, it's the highest position. So although you're fallen from the material world, still you take the highest position as a Lord Brahma. And then generally from there, you go back, you get involved in the lower and lower species, and then you get completely bound up. Although you have a chance to go back to Godhead at that time also, but generally when they're first coming in, they don't go back as a Brahma. After becoming a bit bewildered and coming to that position again, then Lord Brahma goes back to Godhead. So they cannot understand Krishna. They can't even see Krishna when he performs his. Even the Karna Dakshaya Vishnu, whose expansions are Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu and the Kira Dakshaya Vishnu, the universe is just come out of the pores of his body. Even he has difficulty in seeing Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That story in the Krishna book, how he had to steal the sons of the Brahmana simply to get a darshan of Krishna, because it was so difficult for him to see Krishna. So just like in Krishna's Leela, when Krishna kills the demons, they say there's some Vishnu aspect comes and kills all the demons, because Krishna is simply enjoying. So Krishna has unlimited potencies, unlimited shaktis. He has different shaktis, and Vasudev and Dwarkadish, they actually merge into the body of Krishna for this service. When the demons come in, you have to kill the demons, so they don't want Krishna. So his body is so tender that he shouldn't have to do this. So they merge in his body to kill all the demons. So they're all in the body of Krishna. But still his pastimes, especially his pastimes with Srimati Radharani, are so confidential. But even they're not allowed to witness them. So when the demons are coming, and it's necessary, then those Vishnu, they come out and they kill the demon. But when Krishna's actually meeting Srimati Radharani for his confidential pastimes, then Krishna has one shakti, it's called Akashani Shakti. And it leaves his body, it goes up and it attracts Dwarkadisha and Vasudeva, and they go up. So that actually they don't, and then Krishna's, it's just purely Krishna and Radharani engaging in their pastimes. Then when the pastime is finished, then he has another shakti called Stapani. Stapani means place. So the Stapani shakti, again, it calls Vasudeva and Dwarkadisha back into the body again. So they come back again after the Radha and Krishna pastimes are finished. So actually when Krishna's in Vrindavan for 16 years with his pastimes, he's just simply, he's the son of Nanda Maharaj and Radharani, and they're just enjoying. There's no, even the other forms of Vishnu, they don't even get to participate in this. So can hardly witness it even. Or just consider, as Prabhupada says here, that Lord Brahma is generally one of the living entities. He's generally one of the living entities, but the this Brahma is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When there's no qualified person to take a position of Lord Jiva, to take a position of Lord Brahma, then Krishna takes that position. So this particular Brahma of this universe, Prabhupada said, one devotee asked him, and Prabhupada said, he is Krishna. So he's Krishna, but he plays roles so perfectly. He's playing as a creator. He goes through those pastimes and everything like that. But just consider the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts that role of Brahma. Then, for him to actually understand, he has to take birth in a Muslim family as Haridas Thakur. Just at Krishna's darshan. Because the only way to get Krishna's darshan is with Krishna Prema. And that Krishna Prema is only available through Harinam Sankirtan. So Haridas Thakur, born in a Muslim family, just performing Sankirtan, that's all he... So he has Krishna Prema, that form he can see. So the Lord actually, personally, he's so fortunate, he's able to... The Lord puts his feet on his chest at the time of leaving, he's able to gaze and cherish desire. So even Vishnu has to go through so much trouble to understand and see Krishna. So who can be worthy of the name of the name of the Personality of God except except Krishna? So that Krishna Prem, which is the only thing to capture Krishna, love for Krishna, which is the only thing that can attract him and capture him, that is coming by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Golokyara Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. It's coming in the form of the Harinam Sankirtan. And the only way to achieve that prema is through Harinam Sankirtan. Nastiva. That's the only way. The only way that a person can get actually Krishna prema. So another meaning of this translation is, who can be worthy of the name of the Supreme Lord but the Personality of Godhead Krishna? Or it could be translated, who else can be worthy to receive the holy name of Krishna except Krishna? Because the holy name is Krishna. So who actually can receive Krishna except Krishna? Who is as powerful as Krishna? So who is worthy to receive the name of the Supreme Lord other than the Personality of Godhead Krishna? He's the only actually person who can receive, because nobody else is worthy. But because of the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, that even this most sinful persons can achieve this, which only Krishna is factually qualified to achieve. Even Jagai Madai, they could receive. Jagai Madai, they came to kill Nityananda Prabhu with a pot. But in return he says, no, I will give you Krishna Prem instead. They come to kill him and he says, I will give you Krishna Prem. So who is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu? That they are distributing freely this Krishna prema. So therefore it's unheard of throughout the Vedas that it's so easily available, and it's been made available by Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda. That anybody can receive this. If Jagai Mata can get it, then they've come to give to the most fallen people of this age. So the idea is that you should call out the names of Chaitanya and Nitai. One who calls out the names of Chaitanya and Nitai, the holy names of Rama, which gives liberation, and the name of Krishna, which gives prema, they come searching for that devotee. Who's calling Chaitanya and where are they? The holy name itself, they also come. And so this is the idea. We call the names of Chaitanya and Nitai. Wherever they are, the holy names will come. So they will be doing their kirtan. And they will dance, the holy name will dance, the mind will dance, nice song of Bhakti Nautaiko. Natriyamamam, Nasriyamamam, Dayal Nitai Chaitanya Boli. Natriyamamam, chant the names of Nitai Chaitanya, and oh, my mind will dance, it will dance, it will dance. So this is perfection. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so there's another verse in Chaitanya Tamrita, when he was at the Rath Yatra. Jagamana something. How my mind wants to go to the Jagamandi, Natmandir, where they do the dancing in front of Lord Jagannath and bow at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. And it was a song, he was asking Srupa Damodar, sing it again and again, it's just one line. I want to be with Lord Jagannath dancing in the Natmandir, my head will be bowed down, same mood there. The mind should become the Natmandir, and the holy name should be there with Gaur-Nitai. Everyone will dance, and the mind will dance. And Mahaprabhu was just saying, sing it again, and Rasup Damodar was saying, he was just in ecstasy, and all the symptoms he forgot what time it was, he was going on so much. And Nityananda Prabhu had to say, nobody can keep up with you anymore, everyone's completely exhausted, it's midday already, you've been dancing the whole morning. So we had to get him out of his ecstasy. But that's the idea. We should make our minds the Natmandir and invite Nityananda Chaitanya, then the holy name will come. Prabhupada said, when you chant Hare Krishna, you can chant in a nice tune also. A melodious tune, he said, you would keep. Srila Prabhupada finishes his purport. He's talking about the four different sampradayas. The Brahma sampradaya, Rudra sampradaya, Sri sampradaya, and the Kumara sampradaya. They're all very authoritative, coming from Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord the four Kumaras, and Lakshmiji. These are authoritative. Very authoritative sampradayas or disciplic successions that are giving. And Prabhupada says, even to this day, from time immemorial practically, that these, still all these people, devotees, they still accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to him, no one is greater than it. And even the, All these great acharyas, Madhavacharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbakacharya, and Vishnu Swami, they all actually all came to Mayapur. They all had the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he gave them blessings to perfect their sampradayas. And he said, I will take two lessons from all of you different acharyas. And I will come in the future and give the conclusion of all your philosophies, the Chintaveda, Vedaveda, Tattva philosophy. So factually, it's not that although Lord Chaitanya came and took the two principles from each of those samples, but he's actually the guru of all those. He inspired them. They're his instructions anyway. So it's not he took them and formed, some people say he took them and formed his own movement, but no. He gave them the principles. Just like when Ramanuja was, Jagannath, when he was in Puri, Jagannath said, you must go and visit Navadvip Dham. Anybody who has taken a human form, he doesn't go and visit Navadvip, he has uselessly spoiled his whole life. Everybody should go there. And he instructed him to go there because it's his very dear abode. And he said that this abode of mine is not part of the material world. It's descended in Vrindavan, his expansions on Narayana and Vishnumurtis. But that same Krishna, and the supreme abode of Vrindavan, he said that same Krishna is Gauranga, and that same supreme abode of Vrindavan is Mayapur, so go there. So he went, he came here and he had darshan of his worshipful Lord, Lakshminarayan, because he was worshipping Lakshminarayan, Ramanuja Sampradaya. Then that form of Lakshminarayan transformed into Radha and Krishna. Then it formed and changed into Gauranga. And he became ecstatic, he became conscious. And then after some time he regained consciousness and he said, this is your form of Gauranga, he said that. He said, now it's all coming together, now I'm seeing this and all the little bits in the Shastra, but now I'm going to go out and preach your message. You have come to give pure Krishna prema, I'm going to go out and conquer the world, I'm already doing it, but now I'm going with redoubled strength, I'm going to give everyone the message of Krishna prema. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, don't do that. He said, I will do that when I come. He said, you preach Dasaras. That's all your disciples will understand, but you keep teaching Dasaras. I will come later and I'll give Krishna. But you worship me in your heart, but don't tell the others what you have seen. So all these great acharyas, they came and they actually had darshan with Lord Chaitanya and he told them their mission and things like that. And he told them to worship. So they actually all developed Krishna prema. Although they were teaching Dasaras, most of their old practice teaching up to Dasaras. But because they had the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were also able to develop Krishna prema. And therefore they perfected their sampradayas. That's why their sampradayas are so strong. Because their leaders infuse so much energy into their philosophies and teachings. So even these great acharyas, they have to get the mercy of the Lord to do anything, the great demigods, anyone. Krishna will always remain supreme, the supreme person of the departed. And who else is worthy of being called the Supreme Person of God in except Krishna. Shrima Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Shama Veda Bhaktivinoda ki. Jai Go Premanandi. Thank you very much. Thank you. He said, Lord Shiva is delivering us from our false ego, but we don't seem to worship him much. Should we worship him more? In Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says we worship. No, he said the snakes. The snakes represent the false ego and Lord Shiva. Shankarshan. Lord Shiva's worshipful object is Shankarshan. So he removes. Actually, the false ego It's such a subtle thing. And it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the stories, maybe in the glories of Anantadev, that portion, Shankarshan Anantadev. And it says that the false ego is actually a dictation from Shankarshan. Very subtle. We can't understand Shankarshan. What to speak of a dictation to Shankarshan? So that's how subtle it is. But because Shankarshan is the master of Lord Shiva, he worships him. Then when we worship Krishna, it's understood that Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, they're all present there anyway. So there's no need to separately worship. So Lord Shiva's there as Shankarshan, who is in charge of the Ahankara principle, Tamaguna. So they're all there in Krishna, so we don't have separate. Vasudeva Krishna is pure consciousness. They go up in the sky, yeah, when Radha and Krishna meet.
So they are in this Vasudeva.
Yeah, he leaves. Vasudeva and Dorothy, they're there. Well, when it's time for service, they come out and kill the demons. When it's time for the conjugal relationship, they have to get lost, so they go off in the sky somewhere, attracted by another Krishna. Yes.
Can
just a clarification question. False ego and independence, what is the relationship between the two? And does the pure devotee actually surrender independence or false ego or never hope?
Independence and false ego, are they the same? And a pure devotee, does he surrender his false ego or his independence?
Or both.
The independence is generated by the false ego. In the beginning of the creation, when the living entities come in, they're in the pure state. They're in Vasudeva consciousness, actually. Because there's no manifestation of the three modes of material nature. So only Vasudeva is existing. And then the Ahankara principle makes its appearance. It makes its presence felt, known. So that presence is not, I'm the Lord, I'm the enjoyer. So then living entity is immediately attracted to that. Although he has a choice to go back to Godhead at that time also. Because he's in pure consciousness. But that, when that first appearance, the Ahankara principle makes its appearance, I'm the Lord, he independently chooses that. That's his own free choice. So therefore, he misuses that independence and chooses the Ahankara. That's what I want. That's what I came here for. Be the Lord, the enjoyer and the controller. So then he's covered by that Ahankara principle, then the whole material world can take place, otherwise it can't happen. It's not going to happen if nobody wants to be the Lord and enjoy it. So as soon as that someone has that propensity from the beginning, then the creation might as well take place, because now the living entities can act. And the other part of the question was, no, the pure devotee, he doesn't have any false ego. He's already he's already given that up. But now he's also surrendering his pure independence to Krishna. His friends appear in the Ganges. Yes, present.
Who is the devotee, or what was the reference that said that she brought up to him that Arjuna was a Krishna? And that stated in Lord Chaitanya's teaching.
Yeah, I heard from Ribhatinandan Swami in 1971 or 72. And he just told me a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that question. The question about Lord Brahma is actually, when there is no qualified person to take the position of Lord Brahma, then Krishna himself will take it. So then the Prabhupada, disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, what about this Brahma? Is this Brahma a living entity? And Prabhupada said, no, this one is Krishna. I don't know if you can find Ribhatinandan, then he can tell you where he was quoting from, where we heard it from. Yes. How is he yet wiser? Yeah, so yeah, Narottam Das Thakur is saying that I am the most fallen, therefore my claim is first. This is the idea. So you become, you're not the most, but you become second most fallen. Because immediately the most fallen is, if my claim is first, so he gets it. So then you're the second in line, so you become the next in line. Now my claim is most. Now I'm the most fallen because the other's been delivered. So put yourself in second place. Very soon. As soon as you really understand you're the most fallen, you'll be delivered. You get the mercy of the Lord. Anything else? Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Thank you very much.